Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. Welcome to this month's Power Interview, and we've got an incredible agent on this call this month. It's Tracy Elderton Palmero. Did I say that right, Tracy?
Yes, Tracy Palmero, yes.
All right, I probably should have rehearsed that before before
That's
I said
okay.
it. All right, cool. So listen, thank you so much for calling in. And gang, Tracy is... I'm so excited that we got to grab her. And we're actually doing this interview on a busy Saturday, so she squeezed us in, and you're going to get so much from this. So, Tracy, before we get into the weeds here, why don't you tell everybody your contact information so that way if they want to send referrals to you or they have questions, they can reach out to you.
Okay, great. I am Tracy Palmero, and I work under the umbrella of RE/MAX Best Choice out of Festus, Missouri. I have a team, the Palmero Home Team, and you can reach me at 314-803-6245. My website is www.real, R-E-A-L, capital E-S-T, the number 8, pro, P-R-O, .com, realestatepro.com. And my email is Tracy, T-R-A-C-I, dot, Palmero, P-A-L-M-E-R-O, at remax.net.
Awesome. Now, Tracy, what I'd like to do, you did that so great, I would like to start off with you sharing your production, how long you've been in real estate, because I think it'll create a really strong listening for people. I do want to just say, and then I'll have you do the production part. Gang, Tracy's only been in real estate, and I said only because really 2 years and 3 months is still a fairly new agent. And so, Tracy, why don't you give them your breakdown and your production and how you grew, and you referenced the team. How many people are you on your team? So let's do it that way.
Okay. Well, like Daryl said, I've been in the business now for 2 years and 3 months. I started in 2015. There's a long story as to how I got into it, but I was very excited to make the change into real estate. My first 9 months, I did 17 transactions, which people thought was pretty amazing, about $2.3 million worth of business, and my average was right around $135,000 per sale. So when I did my my plan for the following year, I decided that I wanted to double the business or double my dollar volume, and I wanted to increase my dollars per transaction. So I aligned my processes a little bit to attract higher dollar volume listings, and from that came higher dollar volume buyers. So
yeah.
My second year, I did $4.6 million. And 31 and a half transactions for $147,000 is my average sale price.
Okay.
So this year, year to date, I've closed 30 transactions, $4.8 million. I have $2.6 million pending, and my average transaction is $186,000.
All right, so I want people to get this because you say this year so far, we're recording this because we're going to post it later in July of 2017. So we're just a little bit more than just 1 month. Yeah. So, but
those numbers are as of June 30th.
Yeah, so you've done, if you stop working now for the rest of the year, you've already surpassed all of last year. Did I get those numbers correct?
That's correct. That's
yeah.
correct.
And so you went from 110 to 140 average sale price to now 180. So you've done a 40% increase in your dollar volume plus your increase in your transactions. That's just really phenomenal. So there's a couple and let's go to the team. Do you have a team? Do you have people working for you now?
Okay, so one of my goals for my second year in the business was to start a team. So my anniversary was on March 9th. On March 10th, I introduced that I was starting a team. I added a team member who unfortunately had to leave the team.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Not that she was necessarily fired, but there were a lot of things that took her eye off the ball, and that just wasn't going to work for me.
Sure.
I currently have a new agent. He's recently been licensed, so I'm very excited about this. He's a young man, 29 years old, very, very high energy, very excited about the process, and he loves everything that he's hearing about my system and how I've been able to do what I've been able to do. And since he's new, I get to train him from the scratch as opposed to changing bad habits.
Yeah, that's so much easier. Okay. All right, this is just really impressive. So what would you say was, because I want to try and capture what you've been able to do, because what you've been able to do is unusual. And even for somebody who's been in real estate 5 or 10 years, they're not doing the level of production you're doing, as I'm sure you're aware of. You just said to me before we started the call, how many agents are in your company, by the way?
We have 82 agents.
And so you just told me that you got the number one agent award for your company this month and last month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Top listing agent, top sales agent.
Okay. So, you know, people should really pay attention. That are listening to this. Now, I think I even want to bump somebody on our interview to kind of put you ahead in the queue here to get you on the website. So let's take a look at this. First of all, what did you do before realtime? You alluded that was a long story, but I think that's important because I want to get to your mindset a little bit. Because I know part of what your success, and that's true for any real estate agent, it's not just what they do, but it's who they are. It's what they bring to the business, their attitude about themselves and about business in general. So I'm curious, what did you do before real estate?
Okay, well, I ran my own cosmetics manufacturing company for 16 years prior to selling it in 2010. And with that, we had two manufacturing facilities where we manufactured nail care products, and I was calling on, and while I was running the entire company, everything from production to personnel to procurement, logistics, of course, sales and marketing, I was also brand building and entrepreneur inventing, if you will.
Yeah.
So I had 68 employees. I had two manufacturing facilities. I called on the buyers at major retailers such as Walmart and Walgreens, Family Dollar, CVS, you know, Duane Reade, that you know quite well, and also in 33 different countries of the world as well. I owned 98% of the nail polish remover business in Canada. And we owned three brands, and we did a ton of private label. So pretty much we touched every female household in the country and a good portion of the world. So I ran
the
company. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that when I asked that question. I didn't know you were that famous.
I don't know. Famous, but
yeah. Well, if you owned the Canadian nail polish remover market, I say that's pretty awesome. How many employees did you have?
I had 68 employees at one point, and we were very proud to say that we're a 100% made in the United States company. All
mm-hmm.
of our products and ingredients were procured from the Greater St. Louis area. So while we employed 68 people directly at our manufacturing companies, we also kept a lot of people in the St. Louis area employed as well, that were handling all of our different components for our products. But we were vertically integrated. We kind of revolutionized the industry where we basically blew the bottle that the polish remover went into. We filled it, we capped it, we labeled it, we shipped it, we marketed it, everything from soup to nuts we did.
So you didn't have, for example, somebody had ties. I think it was trouble at ties made in China. You had it made all here in the U.S. Everything.
That's right. In our two facilities, yes.
Now, that's very awesome. When you sold the company, because now people are going to be thinking this. Tracy, people are quick to shoot down success. So some people might say, oh, well, that's, you know, she probably sold the company for so much money, and she took all that money and she pumped it into real estate and promoting herself, and that's why she's doing so well. So what would you say to somebody who has that thinking about what you've done? And it might be true, but I'm just curious, what would the answer be?
Well, I would say that the answer is absolutely the opposite of that.
Okay.
With the downturn of the economy and the time that basically all of the real estate industry suffered so terribly when the economy tanked, we also saw the exact same thing in our business.
Mm-hmm.
Acetone is a byproduct of phenol production, which phenol is produced to make things like particle board and MDF and things like this for the building trade. Well, obviously, when the economy crashed, all building came to a grinding halt. Companies that were producing phenol for the construction industry, they went offline, and so the price of acetone tripled overnight. And we ended up selling because the bank considered us a risky business proposition. So they were able to write off TARP money.
So when we sold, we did not sell
it for a lot of money. On the day that we sold, we had $2.9 million of open orders we couldn't fill. And it was something that was very painful at the time, can still be somewhat painful, but it was a fantastic learning experience. Hindsight is definitely 20/20.
Okay, so first of all, you are an extremely generous and authentic human being for you to be so honest. No, seriously, I mean, because some people, you know, their ego would be so great that they wouldn't be able to really, you know, honestly say what you just said. So, so I appreciate that so much. And it still doesn't take away the fact that you built something that was incredible and it was making a difference and it gave people living, gave groups of people a living to see their family. You fed your family. So really awesome. Okay. So, but what is clear is that you obviously have a business mentality on how to build a company, run a company, manage people. And so that skill set, I'm sure, has helped you tremendously in the real estate world. And that's why you're doing so well. Now, what would you attribute your quick success? And we're going to get down into it pretty, you know, down and dirty. I'll answer more specific stuff. But just before we get into that overall, I'm curious your knee-jerk reaction to that question, which is, what would you say has really helped you to succeed so quickly?
Well, I believe that a lot of people get into real estate because they grew up in an area and feel like everybody knows them, everybody grew up with them, everybody that they know will buy a house from them and sell their house with them, and they rely solely upon that relational aspect of real estate.
Yep.
And when I got into it, people only knew me as the nails girl. So I had to build an entire business model for my real estate business, including getting the word out that there's a new business in town. What I did was I looked at it very much from a business perspective as opposed to a relational perspective when I started the business. So with my previous business history, I know that when you promote your product, people will buy your product.
Yeah.
And so I knew going into it that I was going to have to make sure that a portion of everything that I brought back not only was withheld for taxes, but also put forward to grow my business.
Okay. So I love that distinction, what you just said. So real estate is either a relationship. How did you say relational business?
Relational business, right.
Yeah, relational business or or a business? What was the other thing?
Well, from the standpoint of what kind of a business, you can run it as a relationship-based business, or you can run it as a numbers and data-driven business where the things that you do can be tracked for success or failure and the path adjusted. So I approach this from a business standpoint rather than from a relational standpoint.
Right, got it. So you looked at it from a business. I added the business to your sentence, which your expression, which made it more complicated. So, yeah, you either look at it as a business or relational. I love that distinction. So,
thank you.
And yeah, so really what it's about is marketing and promoting and branding would be the business aspect as opposed to friends and families and referrals.
That's correct.
I love it. Okay. Because some people would say that, you know, I can't do business because I don't know a lot of people in my neighborhood or I'm not good with networking. Yeah, so just awesome. Love it. All right. Now, last question on this, and that's about family. So just so I get a sense, are you married, children? Like, what does that look like?
I am. I'm married. It'll be 30 years in December.
Congratulations.
I have two fabulous boys, 23 years old and 26 years old.
Right.
They're both very successful, but they've seen their mom grow up in, they've grown up with seeing me in a sales aspect my entire life. And so while my oldest graduated with a biomedical engineering degree, he was brilliant enough to say, you know, Mom, I have a skill set that most people don't have that are biomedical engineers. And I said, what's that? And he said, I can talk my way out of a paper bag. So he said someone has to be able to sell the concept that engineers are coming up with and sell the ideas to raise the money for further research that engineers would come up with. And since I understand both sides of it and can do both sides of it, I should be that guy. So
awesome. It
was kind of cool because I looked at how he was looking at it as, you know, at a young 22-year-old, and I looked at my real estate business kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the business acumen to be able to explain the business side of real estate transactions to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that was going to be a game changer for me in that I was a very real person. I bring it very, very easily understood, but being able to fully explain the process to everyone along the way, my buyers and sellers are just like, you made it so easy. I don't know why anybody would ever use somebody else. So there was never a surprise for them. So that's how I set myself apart, and it really came from my oldest saying, you know, I can do something that most people can't do in my industry.
That's so great. Okay, awesome. That's just so awesome. All right, so let's look at what does a typical day look like for you when you're getting in, like, what do you do in the morning, what do you do in the afternoon, what's your biggest priorities each day?
Okay, so my week starts out with Motivation Monday. So I always make sure that I take time during the very early moments of my morning on Monday morning to motivate myself for the entire week. I have just a slew of different motivational speakers like Daryl Davis.
I heard he's pretty good.
He's worked for me. So And I take the time to either attend a webinar or listen to a podcast or read a book on Monday morning. I'm up every single morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I know that I'm highly productive from a personal standpoint at 5 o'clock in the morning. So 5 to 7 is the time when I do the production on my branding and on my attitude, and I really ramp up my production for my week, planning my week.
Okay.
So that's on Monday mornings at 5. Now, I get up at 5 every morning, so my other mornings it looks more like social media from 5 to 7. So as a confessed seminar junkie, at least for the first year and a half that I was in this business, I was looking for, you know, some sort of recommendations of what my day should look like. And it's funny because so many speakers are like, well, how many of you spend time on Facebook? And, of course, I raise my hand. And they're like, okay, you need to stop that. Well, the way that I handle my Facebook is probably a little different. I don't just go on there trolling. I'm actually doing my business, but in kind of a different way. So I've managed six different communities, farming communities, and so that's one of the ways that I attract my buyers and sellers and get my my higher percentage of market share within those communities. And so I nurture those communities on social media. And outside of those communities, you know, that's where I'm getting a lot of my referrals is from inside those communities, which is great. So for me, social media definitely works.
Hang on a second. So your these communities, are they separate groups or pages on Facebook?
They are.
Or no?
Okay. They are. That's one of the first things that I did when I came in. I said, okay, no one knows that I am in real estate. So I need to let large groups of people know that this is what I am doing now. So I started off door knocking. I picked six community subdivisions in my community here, and I set up a community yard sale. And every year the yard sale gets bigger, and every year I get more referrals out of it, and people stop me in Walmart. Hey, are we going to have a fall yard sale? And so I do two yard sales per community each year. And what I do to generate leads is I stand at the entrance to the subdivision handing out maps to where all of the sales are for that day, and I hand out a little sign-up sheet for people to put their name, address, phone number, email, and are they personally interested in buying or selling a home, or do they know someone? And if they fill that out and bring it back to me, then they're in a drawing to win $100. So I'm paying for their shopping that day at yard sale.
Okay, so now, so this community yard sale, the neighbors, so they're going to take their stuff and put it in their driveway. But you're kind of promoting it for them.
That's correct.
I call it
a purge party.
A purge party.
Yes. So we have third annual Alexander Heights purge party, for instance, is coming up in fall purge party is coming up in September.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do for my residents, I started a Facebook group individual to those subdivisions. So each one has their own private group page, and so I promote the yard sale in there. But then I also talk about any activities that are happening in our community in Festus. I talk about different things that are coming up, like the solar eclipse is coming up, and there's a big to-do at the park in town. So it's not just real estate related, but it's uber positive. So everything that I do is super, super positive. So I've never had an instance where people are getting nasty on the group or I have to monitor what anybody's saying or anything like that. Instead, what I've done is I've pulled these communities together so that the neighbors actually know each other better than before I started doing this.
Okay, so this is really brilliant. And you know, I'm on your website now trying to get a sense of some what you're talking about. What I love about, I don't know if you did this intentionally, but when you said a purge party, you know, some people may not think of, you know, having a garage sale. You know, it's like, I don't want to do garage sale, I don't need a garage sale, because people have, like, a definition in their brain what a garage sale is.
Mm-hmm.
But to purge the stuff out of my house.
That's right.
So almost calling it that would create somebody to do a garage sale that they didn't even have it on their radar to do a garage sale, because you're not speaking about garage sale. You're speaking about purging your home and getting rid of the junk. So that's just brilliant. Okay, good. I'm so excited. You need to write a book.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, I'll put that on my list, actually.
It is on your list. It should. And we, after this recording, I can give you a suggestion on how to keep track of all your great ideas.
Okay.
So you can write in it as you're doing it. Okay, so anything else you want to say, what your typical day or typical week looks like?
Okay, so I do not have an assistant. I have quickly determined that I really, really need one because I pretty much hit a brick wall at 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Because I'm up at 5 every morning, and I'm going, going, going. So that's one of the things that's on my radar, but until I have that, then I've got a lot of the paperwork, transaction management things to do. I'm getting a lot of referral business, and, of course, my son, my oldest is 26, my youngest is 23, and now their friends are starting to buy homes. Their friends all called me Mama for lots of years, so they're calling Mama to help them buy homes, so I'm busy, of course, nurturing their learning process about what they're going to need and how they're going to go about doing this. And, of course, there's the fear factor to overcome, but they trust Mama. So it's kind of cool, but it does take a lot of time to nurture first-time homebuyers. During the course of my day, I also probably do a lot of things that would easily be given away to other people to do, divesting myself of, you know, the 80% of the minutia in order that I could spend that time generating more business. I decided to start a team because as I was looking over my numbers for 2016, it quickly became apparent to me that I can't possibly do any more business than what I'm doing right now if I don't, A, have a team, B, have an assistant. So those are the two things that were on my radar immediately for my second year. So the rest of my day now is working with my new team member. Of course, you know, he's newly licensed, so there's a bit of hand-holding there, just like there is with my first-time homebuyer client. So a lot of my time is now being spent working on my business instead of in my business.
Very good.
But it's interesting that it's not slowing down my production any.
Right.
So I've just kind of gone in a slightly different direction. So the stepping stones that I put in place, you know, the months leading up to starting my team, obviously are carrying me right now, which is fantastic. So my biggest priorities for my week is to get my head on straight on Monday mornings with my motivation podcasts or webcasts or whatever, and then to plan my week. I've found that as long as my week is planned out in advance, like when I'm going to do prospecting, when I'm going to do office work, when I'm going to manage my social media, et cetera. I've got things blocked out. As long as I plan my week, then I'm very productive. It's when I don't plan my week that I can have take my eye off the ball, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So now, what would you say is so you got into this business without friends, family, referrals. You've been the nail lady. So where would you attribute most of your business from? Would it be from social media? Would it be from calling physical expires? Would it be door knocking? Like if you were to say to somebody who was just starting out, this is the top three things to do to generate appointments, whether they're buyers or sellers.
Okay, so I know that for myself, I am best when I'm in front of my clients. So I know that if I can talk with somebody face to face, I've got them as a client. If not now, then in the future. So I plan my prospecting, et cetera, in live event style format. So
okay.
when there are events in town like Twin City Days, I will have a booth and I'll have one of my lenders with me. I might even have an inspector with me. in my booth, and I've got a raffle where I can collect names, address, email, and phone number. Are they thinking about selling or buying? I can talk to them about a first-time home buyer seminar that I'm putting together, or, you know, something like that, but I'm always lead generating in that way. And I get a tremendous amount of business months after I have done that. So people are holding my cards, and I do, I'll do, you know, like the coolest realtor in town koozies or, you know, something like that. So everybody that stops to talk with me leaves with something.
Wait, say that again. What was that? The coolest, say that again, the coolest.
The coolest realtor in town. Koozies that go around cans or bottles.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, I know that if I get a chance to talk to people, they're going to remember me. So, so I jump out in front of them, and we play some music in my booth, and this year we're actually going to have three booths side by side for this particular event. The first year that I did it, I closed the first transaction after that event 36 days after the event, and
wow.
It was a $286,000 deal.
Is that a buyer or a listing?
That was a buyer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was a buyer.
So live events, and that's an example of one. So, but you try and do the live events wherever it might be. Okay, you set up a booth and like that. Okay.
Yep. I do that. Also, door knocking. Again, that's face to face, toe to toe, nose to nose, and just having the opportunity to talk with people and not necessarily about real estate. It generates some level of trust in me that virtually always ends up paying back in business.
Now, when you do the door knocking and also at the live events, what handout piece are you giving out? Handout pieces, icebreaker or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
How do you do that?
Sure. I have several different handout pieces, and I change them every year when I do it because I don't want the same people coming by my booth getting the same handout pieces. So last year it was why rent when you can own, and seven myths of home ownership that first-time home buyers, you know, believe. And then I had another one, the do's and don'ts of the credit process. So preparing yourself a year ahead of time for being able to buy a home. I give out a mortgage product menu. Amazingly enough, so many people seem to think that, you know, they have to have 20% down. They have to have a credit score of 780. They have to have, you know, all these certain things that obviously is no longer true. So, you know, just educating them that there's a whole menu, just like at a restaurant, a whole menu of mortgage products that are available out there. And then, you know, the added desserts are, for the first-time home buyer, there's funds out there that they will give you, and they will waive those funds if you live in the home for 5 years. It's free money. So a lot of realtors, from what I understand, don't take the time to learn about the financing portion of the real estate business. And again, I do things to set myself apart from others. So just being able to explain that they have options that they didn't even realize that were there is great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. these flyers or these checklists or the seven myths, how did you find those?
I worked with one of my lenders on the credit, on the mortgage menu. I worked with them. I'm very fortunate to have some lenders. I have a nice little group of lenders that I use. One of them was very generous in training me on the different types of loan products that are out there and programs that are available, and I kind of went, you know, above and beyond and went out in search of additional ones. But they helped me with my mortgage menu. I find that I can rework something that I've seen on Pinterest and work it into, you know, my own by going out and doing a little bit of research, getting a couple of other ideas that maybe the original author might not have thought of.
When you find these things, do you create it yourself, like the flyer or the workbook, or do you have somebody do it for you?
Nope, I do it myself. I'm a big fan of PowerPoint, actually.
Okay.
And, so what I do is I create it myself and put it together, and then I send it over to a printer, and they finesse it a little bit, make things line up the way they should and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I pretty much put it all together myself.
All right, cool. All right, so we've got door knocking, live events, and what would you say would be your third source of appointments that you generate?
So, again, my geofarming is incredibly important in my business, but I think additionally, coming from the idea that when you give, it comes back to you tenfold, my charitable activities, I've met a lot of people and generated a lot of business from being involved in the charities that I work for. Mm. I give a percentage of all of my commissions to Children's Miracle Network.
Okay.
I work on an event that we put on every February. It's a red carpet gala event for children who have severe disabilities or mental illnesses, life-threatening illnesses, things like that, but they've gone above and beyond their perceived limitations to do ridiculously amazing things. And so I'm a big supporter of that charity as well. That's a year-long process to put on that production. And so I make a lot of contacts and, again, have an opportunity to work side-by-side with people that I might never meet.
Right.
And through doing my charitable activities. So I'm a firm believer that positivity and giving, coming from a standpoint of giving rather than getting, has enabled me to grow tremendously. And the business comes. When you give, the business comes.
Mm. Now, I saw when I was looking at your social media, I saw there are some other groups, too, that you're a part of that I'm going to guess you didn't create, but you joined those groups that they already existed, like that you might use to promote. Is that am I picking up on that? Okay, good. I have one other question about the groups. Is the groups that your community that you're working, are those private groups or
they are? They are. I marketed them to the neighborhoods as closed groups so that issues could be addressed on that group for just the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, in the neighborhood where I live, where I started this whole concept, I believe we've got 183 homes in that neighborhood, and I believe somewhere around 160 homes are represented by members have joined that group. So it's a closed group, and it has morphed now in these 2 years into realistically a community support system, if you will. We have a lot of residents in our neighborhood that are older, and we've got residents that will take them soup in the winter or go and shovel their driveway, or, you know, if they find out that, you know, the mister is not feeling well, you know, they'll call up the missus and see if, you know, she needs them to pick up anything at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's a dog lost in our neighborhood. It found his way to my front porch, and they know whose pup this is, you know, and so we help each other out that way. So kind of how that it takes a village to raise a child, you know, it takes a community to raise a village, you know. So I wanted very desperately to create that community, and it worked so well there that I expanded it out to 5 additional subdivisions.
All right, and I guess you had to promote it to the subdivisions, let them know that here's a group and to be a part of it. Okay. All right.
Correct. So what I did was I went around with a one-page flyer that said, hey, did you know we have a subdivision closed Facebook group? Now we've got a lot of older people that aren't on Facebook. So I handled their information by taking them a note and dropping it in their box. So the initial communication was, hey, we've got this closed group. the goal of this closed group is to bring us all closer together so that, you know, when we're out walking, we can say hi by name, help each other out, et cetera. I'll also be posting things about real estate in this neighborhood, how many homes have sold, what the increase is. I'm a bit of a data nerd, so, the percentage of increase in sale price, the percentage of increase in speed of sale, things like that. And then it's also a platform for everyone else to share, and it's really kind and generous, and I love it.
This is so great, Tracy. And you're right that a lot of speakers, and even me, if you remember the seminar that you attended that I gave, I had all the different places to generate leads. You know, the right side was FSBOs and expired. The left side was social media and farming. And I said, don't do those things. Focus on FSBOs and expired because it costs no money. It's now business. But, you know, you're the exception to that because you have a business mentality. You knew how to, promotion, you know, marketing, so you brought that to it. I think a lot of speakers will tell agents to stay away from social media when they're not doing it with a purpose. And you clearly have a business purpose to it, and it makes sense. Yeah, very good. What technology are you using to help run your business? Are you keeping track of your business, your leads, your clients, your closings? So what do you do to manage your time?
Well, I would say that is where I struggle the most.
Okay.
when I started, I was desperate for someone to tell me, this is the customer relationship management system you need. This is the way to manage your leads. This is the system that you need for this. And nobody was willing to say, this is the one. So, again, as a seminar junkie, my first, couple of years, or my first year anyway, I was looking for that answer. And then all of a sudden, I'm so far in that my customer relationship management system is non-existent, and I'm like that dandelion that you blow and it goes everywhere. That's my customer relationship management system. So what I've done is I've brought on Top Producer and downloaded all of the contacts in my phone, which goes back to also my prior business life. So I'm generating referrals out of state from my previous business life, which is something that I never anticipated.
That's because you're using Top Producer now?
Well, I would say that I didn't realize that Top Producer was going to enable me to have that contact
put in
to
there.
The level that it could. Am I using everything that's available to me on it? Heck no. I've not even scratched the surface.
Right.
And there's a lot of cleanup and such that I really need to do, but that would definitely be one of the top things that I would tell a new agent is figure out how you're going to keep track of all your leads and all of your past clients and such and stick to it, but find one that you're going to actually use.
Good. Yeah. It's like a diet. There's no right diet. It's whatever diet you're willing to commit to and actually stick with.
Correct.
Correct.
So from the Top Producer standpoint, I'm so new at it that I really know that I'm not using it to its full potential. And now that I have a team and I can send some of my business off to my team, I'm hopeful that I don't just continue to take on more and more business now that I've got someone handling part of it, but that I can work, again, on my business instead of in my business.
Yeah, very good. Which, by the way, I love that, that whole team thing. The fact that you called it a team right out the gate.
Right out the gate, yep.
Yeah, that even when, because it creates a perception, well, one person isn't a team. You think team, you're thinking like there's like several people under you, and which is great. That's exactly what you want to create.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. And by the way, not for nothing, but even your photo on your Facebook page, it's a great business photo. Yeah, well, you got your arms crossed, you're like, you're smiling, which is always good, and but you're saying, you know, hey, I'm ready to work.
Yeah, bring it.
Right, bring it on. Let's get this party started. Yeah, very good. When you started going on listing appointments, how did you get homeowners to sign up with you? Did you have a structured conversation that you feel, you had no business, you know, you had no track record, or maybe you did with some sales, or maybe it was that you didn't call them, they called you, and so there was already an openness to you. So what would you say, how did you get those listings?
Okay, so my very first listings came from friends who knew that I had gotten into the business. Well, I mean, put it this way, I traveled so much in my prior business life that I didn't have a lot of friends, I had a lot of acquaintances. So it was an acquaintance from one of my son's buddies that he played ball with, one of their parents. So so I got together and I, you know, threw myself on the sword for the first 6 months and said, hey, you know, I am going to be completely honest with you. I'm a new agent. However, what I bring to this is a business acumen and a business mentality to real estate. So if I don't know the answer, I promise you that I'm going to get the answer and get it back to you immediately, and I will be the first one to tell you if I don't know the answer. So what that did was that built a trust right there that I'm bringing business to the business of selling their house, and that if I don't know the answer, I have a team of mentors and a fabulous broker that will help me find the answer, get the answer back to them as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But my negotiation skills in my previous life is what was ultimately going to win the listing, because they knew that they had a skilled negotiator on their side.
Mm-hmm. Good, very good. Good, that's good. That's powerful. Very good. Those listing appointments you got in the beginning, were they door-knocking things, or they were people came up to you at the booth, or how would you say the conversation started where you were sitting down with them to give them a CMA?
Okay. So my very first listing, like I said, was with an acquaintance of my son's friends, and I happened to run into the mom in Walmart. And I was wearing my Remax shirt, wearing my name tag upside down, which is something that I do all the time. And people are like, hey, you know, your name tag's upside down. Yeah, I know. But you noticed it, right? And so she had told me that my name tag was upside down, and we laughed about it a little bit. And she's like, yeah, you always did things different. And she said, so you're in real estate now. I said, yeah. She said, well, you know, my daughter is getting ready to sell her house. You know, maybe you ought to go by and talk with her. So I just dropped by and had done a little bit of research on the neighborhood and the price points, you know, the range of price points, but I hadn't done, like, a complete CMA. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to sit down with her, and because I was brand new, I wanted to kind of feel out what kind of questions I was going to be asked. I did not shadow anybody as I was starting the business, so I didn't really know what to expect on a listing appointment. So fortunately, it was someone that again, was an acquaintance. So I was able to go in and say, now here's what I'm hearing that you need from me. I'm going to go back, get those things. Can we get together again in 2 days? And I'll present to you all of the data that shows me where your house, what range your house should be listed in, and what time frame I would say we're looking at, you know, the sale to have it. Great, wonderful. So I came back in 2 days, and I had done my CMA. You know, it was 97 pages of information that nobody reads, and it was crazy. And so that was the first time that I said to myself, there are certain things that are just not going to work for me being real with my people, and a 97-page CMA is one of those things. So, so I started the process really of figuring out what my listing spiel was going to be right at that time.
Okay.
Because they didn't look at any of the 97 pages. They just wanted to know that I did the research that showed that homes were selling at this pace in this neighborhood. You've got these challenges that are going to affect your price point, dot, dot, dot. And they signed on, and we were good. So we sold that house. They bought another new construction home. and referred me to three other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great.
Okay. Wow, very cool, very cool. All right, so now let me, as we wind up, wind this up, Tracy, which, by the way, this was incredible. the mindset of people, like, so you and we mentioned this before we started the call, and that is you succeeding as much as quickly, I know, you know, especially in an office of 82 people, plus other agents from other offices.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be jealous that you are succeeding. Like, you must be doing something unethical or wrong to succeed so much. So they're going to start taking shots at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you probably got that happening pretty early on when you first started having success. How did you deal with that? What would you say to somebody who is going through that and they don't know how to deal with it?
Well, I would say that you're going to be hit from all different angles at all different times from different people, both in your business and outside of your business, with negativity. And I am arguably probably one of the most positive people that people meet. I'm told all the time, my gosh, you write on Facebook exactly like how you talk, and it's always so positive, and oh my gosh, I feel better after hearing you speak or talking with you on the phone or reading your post on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever. You know, you're so positive. And I think that I keep a lot of the negativity away from me just because they know that just like a basement crack, a foundation crack that's, you know, professionally sealed, I'm not letting the water in. I'm not letting the negativity in. And I just turn it around so that when people say, oh, my gosh, you know, that's wonderful, but, you know, are you sure that you're checking all your, you know, dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's, you know, from a legal standpoint? And I just say, you know, I'm doing what I can to be positive, and wouldn't it be great if we all just sold each other's property? You know, instead of cutting each other down.
Right.
You know, make it a point to sell the shoes in each other's shoe stores instead of going out and finding some other way to boost yourself by cutting down another. So positivity, that's it for me. Positivity.
The antidepressant to negativity is positive.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Very good. Well, listen, this was just absolutely incredible. The information you gave was awesome. Give everybody your contact information. You want to give your Facebook page or whatever you want to give them so they can track you down.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Tracy Palmero, T-R-A-C-I, Palmero, P-A-L-M-E-R-O. I'm not Palermo. I'm on Facebook. I've got actually two business pages on Facebook. One would be under Tracy Palmero, Remax Best Choice Agent, which you can find under / Real Estate Pro. That's R-E-A-L-E-S-T, the number 8, P-R-O, Real Estate Pro. And then I also have the Palmero Home Team, which I just started. And so that's Facebook. Then I'm on LinkedIn, Tracy Palmero, again, on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, Just Mama P on Twitter, J-U-S-T-M-O-M-M-A-P, Just Mama P. And I'm also on Instagram, and I really like the social media. It works.
I can see that, which is actually very awesome. all right, well, Tracy, thank you so much. I know you have to run, too. I could talk to you for so much more. So thanks again. Again, just keep in mind, those of you listening to this, there's two things that you should have gotten. Well, there's a lot you could have gotten from this, but there's two things that I'll say. Number one is you should get excited about what's possible. You know, if you've got an agent here who's comes into real estate, selling a business that maybe wasn't, you know, wasn't becoming a multimillionaire from it was out of necessity based on what I picked up on that. And so they are reinventing their life, coming into a business that they knew nothing about, starting from scratch and being a multi-million-dollar producer in a short period of time. So, again, the point here is that anything is possible. If Tracy can do this, you can do this too. The number two thing that I got from this, too, is look at it from a business standpoint. You know, run your business like a business. And the third thing is get out there and be with people. Connect with people. You know, so, Tracy, thank you so, so much. You're wonderful. I appreciate you. And, you know, gang, don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We help people get to their next level. And the more people you help get to their next level, the more money you make. The money is merely a gauge as to how many lives you've touched. Thanks again, Tracy. And everybody, don't forget to keep smiling.